Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening and welcome to the Blog Talk Radio's House of Christ Ministries present Understanding the Fivefold Ministry and Various Ministry Calling. I'm your host tonight, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you live from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 9 p.m., so that's a reminder for you that you should tune into Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m. every Wednesday and Sunday nights, Eastern Time. Tonight, we will not be taking any calls, but if you have any questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com or write to us at House of Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. God bless you tonight and welcome to the show. Tonight, we'll start with the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence thanking you for this opportunity to host this show tonight. Father, we pray that each and every person who will be listening will be blessed by the teachings and that they will get clarity to any misunderstandings that they may have about the fivefold ministry. Father, as we proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout the world, we pray that lives will be touched and souls will be saved. In the name and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I command Satan and all evil spirits to release their hold on me in order that I can be free to know and to choose to do the will of God. As a child of God who is seated with Christ in the heavenly places, I declare that every enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ in my presence be bound. Satan and all his demons cannot inflict any pain or prevent God's will from being done in my life and your lives, because we belong to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through me tonight as I submit to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome once again to the show tonight, and I just want to encourage each and every one. I'm calling on all believers to join us in proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and to honor the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Believers, let us make a difference on the social networks and in our communities. And if we go back to take a look at the book of Acts 1, verse 7 and 8, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So this is something that the Lord had predestined for us to do, to go out and be witnesses. So let us as believers go forth and do that. The time is now. Time is short. We don't know when he's going to come. It's not for us to know that, but it's for us to prepare ourselves. Thank you. Now, I have a few announcements from the House of David Ministries. The House of David Ministry, under the leadership of Minister Clarence Sidney, has established a relationship with the Faith Mission Crisis Center. This effort to save the souls of 25 to 40 persons will begin with a service on Palm Sunday and another on Easter Sunday, followed by prayer, Bible study, and teaching on the first Saturday of every month. The House of David Men's Ministry will also collect basic necessities such as clothing, toiletries, and gifts that we give directly to the clients of the Faith Mission Crisis Center as the need arises. Some of the clients of Faith Mission are homeless, have nothing. So if you would like to help, you could reach out to Reverend Michael Laundrie at 718-682-7121. God bless you, and whatever you can do to assist, if you're in New York, you could reach out to them, or if you're out of New York and you still would like to give some assistance, that would greatly appreciate it. God bless you. So let us turn to the lesson tonight that we are going to be speaking on. And we are going to speak about the spiritual caretaking. Last week we started to introduce the understanding of the fivefold ministry, which is the follow-up lesson to that. And each week we will be touching and explore everything within the fivefold ministries. The enemy is wreaking havoc in the lives of many people and places that we have been given spiritual authority over and spiritual responsibility for. Beloved Christian, this must stop. We must begin to take care of the things that God has given us, not only physically, but spiritually. Whatever ministry or service you have been given or called to by the Lord, you must learn to be a spiritual caretaker. This includes all spiritual responsibilities that God has given you, including your children, your children's school, your neighbors, your community, your job, service that you perform in the church, etc. You must take serious, learn, and be disciplined in praying for and doing warfare for those under your authority, as well as those that you have been given responsibilities for. Every God-given call, position of authority, title and ministry service or duty comes with responsibilities. If you are called to give, you have the responsibility to not spend what God has given you to give to his work on yourself or other things. You also have the responsibility to pray for the finances and other things that you have been called to give for the service of the Lord. Far too many Christians have titles without having qualified, through learning to submit to and be disciplined in the level of spiritual caretaking or responsibility for that call, title, position, ministerial duty, or service to the Lord. Many ministries and churches die out or suffer great loss because over time they lose people, they lose their anointing, they lose their vision and purpose, and plus their impact. This often happens because they have not done the spiritual things to keep them. When you begin to start or grow a work unto the Lord, hell's forces begin to take notice. And if you do not protect the growth of it using spiritual weaponry, spiritual warfare is part of spiritual caretaking, then the enemy will slowly decimate or destroy the work that you have been given by the Lord. You must do spiritual warfare and pray for the people and places that you have spiritual authority over and spiritual responsibility for. Don't just think that you will go into the enemy's camp, take what he stole, and not being attacked to get it back. You must take what the enemy stole by using spiritual warfare, as well as keep what you have and cause it to continue to prosper and grow by using those same spiritual warfare strategies. Many who are waiting on God to use them or give them a ministry or a work of service need to understand that God will not give you spiritual responsibility and authority if you will not or are not willing to be faithful to take care of it. It does not matter if you are called to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, an intercessor, a miracle worker, healer, helper, giver, mother, father, youth leader, etc. You must still learn the principle of protecting or keeping by spiritual means what you have been given by the Lord. You cannot be given more authority and responsibility if you will not be faithful and responsible in what you have already have. Luke 16 verse 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." You will always have limited results in your service to God if you do not understand and operate in these spiritual principles regarding your ministry or call to service in God. This also applies to those with gifts of the Holy Spirit. You must pray for and do warfare for those you are called to minister these gifts to, as well as for the hindrances that try and stop the manifestation of these gifts of the Holy Spirit through you. Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." When Christians do not take spiritual care of the responsibilities that the Lord has given them, then the enemy begins to steal who, what, and the impact of what we have been given responsibility and authority over from them. God could have given a person a vision of a ministry, perhaps hospital ministry, intercession ministry, church, Bible study, Food Pantry, Evangelism Ministry, Deliverance Ministry, etc. And when they started out, they experienced some success. But then it may have begun not to manifest much result. What happened? The enemy began to come at the ministry and the people therein, in the spirit, yet use the natural circumstances to cause issues, and they may have not been doing the necessary spiritual caretaking. Because of their lack of spiritual care, they had to do spiritual work, defense or strength to resist the enemy's attack that was intended to destroy the spiritual commission or responsibility that God had given them. Ministry and service to God as natural actions, duties, and results. But it can never have its foundation or roots in the natural. We are a spiritual people of the Lord, and the manifestation of our spiritual labor may manifest in the natural, but it must be sown or worked in the spirit first. For example, it is foolish to try to do evangelism if you have not first bound the enemy who blinds the minds of those who don't believe. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 to 4 says, "But if our gospel be in, it is into them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Fasting, praying, and spiritual warfare, binding, casting out, and commanding devils and all indurant spirits to stop their activity is necessary to bring the natural result that we evangelize for, which is to see people come to Christ for salvation. The same principle must be applied in all areas of ministry and service unto the Lord. We will take a short break. Shall reign forever and ever. Welcome back to the House of Christ Ministries. Present Reverend Donald Davis, and we are talking about the fivefold ministry And we are discussing tonight the spiritual caretaking. And as we go along tonight, we will be discussing further other areas of the ministry. You can never get too busy with natural caretaking to the point wherein you don't do the spiritual caretaking. The devil will constantly try and fill you up with and keep you busy with natural responsibilities and circumstances, both in your life and in the lives of others. The enemy does this so that you cannot get in the presence of the living God and do those spiritual things necessary that truly take care of your responsibilities and birth supernatural results. It is so easy to do what we have natural talents and abilities in, or have been gifted to do. But natural talents and abilities only give limited and temporal results when it is applied to spiritual things. Meaning the work of the Lord is a spiritual thing. Why is this? You cannot use natural things to maintain spiritual things or things that have a spiritual foundation or root. Even natural praise cannot reach God, for He is a spirit. And so we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. To be a spiritual caretaker, you must seek God's direction for the work that He has called you to do, and for the people and territory that He has set under your authority. This happens in prayer. Your prayers must be that of spiritual caretaking for both yourself and for those that you have been given authority over. When Jesus prayed, it was often spiritual caretaking. And if we take a look at Matthew 6, verse 7 to 13, which gives us an example. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verses 7 and 8 of this scripture tells us that God already knows what we have need of before we ask. So why do we need to ask? Shouldn't He just give it to us? No. God has given us responsibilities and authority over things. But with that, He has given us the responsibility to present the needs of those things before Him and to employ the spiritual tools that we have been given to protect them and help them grow. Too often, we want big things without maturing in our level of responsibility to care for them. Jesus is our great prayer example. He prayed much about everything. He said that He does what He sees the Father do. And let us take a look at John 5, verse 19 to 20, which says, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son cannot do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showed him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. When did Jesus see God the Father do it? Both in heaven, as well as in revelation during prayer. Most likely manifesting in dreams and visions, because it was something that Jesus saw and not just heard. It is in prayer that much of your spiritual responsibility is given, often revealing things to you and telling you what to pray for, and where you must discharge or give your service to the Lord so that he can move in each issue. Jesus once told Peter, who was part of his spiritual responsibility, for we know this because Jesus declared to his Father of all that he, the Father, had given him. He had lost none except the son of perdition, which was Judas, that Satan had desired to sift him as wheat, but he had been praying for him. In Luke 22, verses 31 to 32 says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This was Jesus' responsibility to spiritually, through prayer, help take care and strengthen those under his charge, Peter in this case. Jesus also told the disciples to pray that they enter not into temptation. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus was letting them know that they had a responsibility to pray during this most crucial time, so that they would not be weak and fall into sin when a crisis would arise. They did not pray, rather slept, and when the crisis arose, they did not have the spiritual strength to stand. Matthew 26, verse 55 and 56 says, In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. You are responsible to pray to God for the necessary supplies and laborers. Jesus told us to pray to the Lord for the harvest, that he would send laborers. Luke 10 verse 2 says, Therefore said unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into is harvest. At this time, we'll take a short break and we'll come right back with the lesson. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries Present with the Reverend Donald Davis. And as we go further into the fivefold ministry discussion, we will elaborate some more on this. God bless you and thank you for listening. Part of your spiritual caretaking is seeking God to fill the needs in the area of your responsibility. If you see many souls that need to come to Christ, then you should be praying that God would send laborers. Don't just sit there and think that something will magically happen. Take up your spiritual caretaking responsibilities and pray for them. For those called to the fivefold ministry, this is a necessary prayer duty. You have been given, or one day will be given, territorial responsibility, and the spiritual caretaking that you will have to do is to pray that God would staff the area with those who could labor or help where you may see a need or where the Holy Spirit shows you. Jesus prayed for all who would be Christians throughout every generation. For this was his responsibility. John 17, verse 6 to 26 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep true thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but a son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. My word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they do, that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Others have prayed for those that have had spiritual responsibilities. Paul prayed often for those that he was sent to minister to. And if we take a look at 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, which says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. There are times wherein you will need to pray specific things over and for those under your charge, asking God to equip them with what they need to fulfill their duties. Look at Colossians 1, verses 9 to 12, which says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And as we are talking about spiritual caretaking, there are a number of things which I need to encourage you. Make sure that you're in the right calling. Not because you see someone else doing something, you want to do it. If that's not your calling, then you should not do that. You do this by asking God. Many are trying to function in the wrong calls and areas of service. Ask the Lord to prepare you and lead you in gaining the understanding of the call, title, position, or area of service that he has called you to. Ask him to equip you with the anointing to do it. Study to show yourself approved by willing to learn what you can about the call. Let God lead you to whomever and wherever he has you to be taught by and about. Learn to discipline yourself to fast regularly for the call. Ask God to lead you in it. Pray for the people and the territory that you have been given this call of service to minister to. Ask God to lead you in prayer or show you what to pray for. Do spiritual warfare for those people that you are responsible for. Do spiritual warfare for the territory under your authority daily. Praise God for the manifestation of his promises in the service that he has called you to. Beloved, don't stop until you see breakthrough. Then continue to experience continual victory. At this time, we'll take a short break, and then we'll come right back, and we will make an attempt to get into the lessons, embracing the call on your life. And if time permits us, then we'll do everything there tonight. But if not, we will do as much as we can. So we'll take a short break. and he shall reign forever and ever. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries. Present the Reverend Donald Davis. Tonight, we have just concluded a spiritual caretaking, and we are moving on to embracing the call on your life, which is a very important topic for us to go through tonight. But if time does not permit us to complete this, we will continue on Sunday night. So please remember, every Wednesday and Sundays at 9 p.m., we ask you to tune in to Blog Talk Radio with House of Christ Ministries, presenting the Reverend Donald Davis. We are not taking any calls tonight. If you have a question, please feel free to send us an email, and we'll gladly respond to you. You can email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or if you choose to write, you can write to House of Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Let us get back to the lesson, embracing the call on your life. So often, we are busy working for the Lord in the wrong place. That is to say, doing the wrong things or operating in the wrong call. We try to do what we see others doing for the Lord. Sometimes we follow those who are doing something that is grand, while at other times we do things the way we think everyone else has done it or is doing it. You cannot be a pastor or any other call if you have not been called and equipped to be a pastor. You may have greater gifts and talents than others who are pastors. But if that is not your call, you will fail or be frustrated and hurt others. Sometimes you may be a certain call, but the success of that call is frustrated or limited because God does not want you to settle there or to be content in that position. For he has more heights for you to rise to. We must learn that there is a place that God has called each of us to, and we will work best when we accept that responsibility. The Lord clearly spoke to me and said, "You cannot walk in what I told you to walk in unless you walk in what I told you to walk in." This is to say that you will not fulfill the vision that God has mandated for you unless you do it the way he has called you to do it and in the call or role he has called you to do it in. If God has called you to be a fivefold ministry evangelist and you decide that you are going to be a pastor, then you may have some results, but you will not fulfill the mandate and see the success that God may have shown you that you were supposed to have unless you step into his proposed call for you, which is evangelist. You must learn not to follow the crowd or what seems to be the prominent call of the day. Not everyone who is called to ministry is called to be a pastor. I just want to make that clear. Not everyone who is called to ministry is called to be a pastor. There are so many other calls, but because in our present society, it would seem that pastors are the most full-time ministries, many people feel that that is the only way they will be able to have the full time ministry that their hearts yearns for. Trust God. He will make a way for you in whatever the call on your life is. Seek God's face and embrace whatever call He has given you, it is there that you will function best and have the greatest level of success. So many people's lives are turned upside down because they have not submitted to what God has called them to do. Some are not willing to do what God has called them to do because it may require shame, lack, loss of reputation, separation from home and friends. Others don't do what God has called them to do because they are ignorant to the call on their lives. This is often due to a lack of seeking God for direction. In either case, the person who is not doing what God has called them to do will find God's hand removed from them. Sometimes their finances are affected, their resources are hindered, and the work they are presently doing may begin to diminish, all to get their attention. This happens so that they might seek out God and submit to the call He has called them to. This was the case of the prophet Jonah. He ran from the call on his life, and his circumstances began to become difficult. If you're asking God to do His will, then you will have to submit to His will, even when you do not understand or personally feel it is for you. As with any employer, if God hires or employs you to do one thing and you decide to do another, you will not get paid or get provisions. This is one of the reasons so many servants of God are not getting their needs met. Matthew 20, verse 16 says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen." God calls many people to service in Him, but few are chosen to do it. God calls us and then equips us, which prepares us to be chosen. Often when God feels that we are ready to be chosen, we feel otherwise. It is this point that we must decide if we know best or if God does. We cannot stay in training forever. If we have been prepared and equipped to be laborers in the harvest needs prepared laborers because the need for laborers is so great, we must learn to go with what we have and trust that because God has sent us, He will continue to equip us with whatever we need at each moment to accomplish His work. When a person does not embrace their call, they soon become frustrated and often leave the work that God had assigned them to train in. The sad thing is, they don't leave as a promotion, which we exhibited by them going on to greater things in God. Rather, leave as a dropout who is frustrated and looking to find fault with those who were assigned to help develop them, instead of recognizing that the failure was in themselves. These people always feel that they are called to do more in God But until they submit and embrace the call and the training that would equip them for it, they will not realize or fulfill it. We must crucify our flesh and fears to embrace the call. The devil tries to get you to lean on the flesh and submit to fear as these times, but you must not. Some don't embrace the call because they want to hold on to some. If not, all their old lifestyle. You must not be afraid to lose your life for the work of the ministry or the work of the Lord. Matthew 16 verses 25 and 27 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And what is a man profiting if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Sometimes we are called to do hard things, or to things that stretch us past our natural abilities. It is at these times that we must expect the grace of God, accept the promotion, and expect the ability to do what you are called to do. God calls us to walk by faith, and this includes embracing the call on our lives by faith, not seeing the manifestation of the promise. Abraham had the same opportunity to embrace the call on his life by faith, and he submitted. We will take a short break, and we'll come right back. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries. Present to Reverend Donald Davis as we speak on the fivefold ministry. We just want to remind you that we will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 9 p.m. We're not taking a call at this time. If you have a question, please feel free to send us an email at hodminister@gmail.com. Or if you choose to write to us, you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Praise the Lord and thank you for listening. Early in your Christian walk, you may not know what the call on your life is. So you're not able to embrace the totality of what God is in the process of doing in you. As you mature and grow in the things of God, you begin to add on through life's teachings and experiences, the components necessary to bring you to the place where you can better see the call on your life. It is at this time that a decision must be made to embrace what God has called you to. Along the way, you may think or have thoughts that you're called to various different things. But many of those experiences were often just a part of your training. It will take all of those experiences or the totality of them for you to clearly see and qualify for the call on your life. It is God who shapes and molds ministries. Ministries and the calls in people's lives don't just evolve. They are designed by God. As with any vessel that is made from clay on the potter's wheel, they always start off as a shapeless, ugly lump of clay. The potter places it on the wheel and it begins to go through the shaping process that it needs to become the beautiful vase or vase or pottery that the potter had intended to shape it in. So is it when God is shaping an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, an administrator, elder, minister, deacon, or lay Christian for his service. You are not yet what you are going to be or where you are going. Let God keep shaping you and don't jump off the potter's wheel. Each phase of your shaping should not discourage you, but rather encourage you to know that you're that much closer to the place God has desired to bring you. We too often underestimate God, believing that he does not have a complete plan for our lives. He always does. The issue is not with him, but with our willingness to let him shape us on his wheels. Don't be discouraged by what you may feel were past failures, for they may not be failures at all, but rather shaping seasons. When we look back at the experiences or different things we had done for perhaps a season, we should not always think that we did not succeed. They may not be true. God's development of your ministry or call may have required those experiences so that you may be well-rounded and be ready to take up the mantle. At a later time, your ministry may require you to be familiar with those past attempts at various ministries and experiences. Be confident. God has been preparing you all your life for this call. Often, the things that you had or still do naturally are a natural parallel to what you have been called to do spiritually. For example, if you were a person who often started new businesses, you might have an apostolic call or a call to missionary work on your life. This is because they need to be able to start or establish new works. God began to equip you before you even realized that you were called. Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23 says, From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be done unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Beloved, not everyone can accept what you're called to. Some people, because of their personal feelings, their emotions, or attachment to you, will say the wrong things. They sometimes believe they are saying something to benefit you, when in fact, it is the devil that is trying to use them to discourage you. As in the above scripture, Peter did not want to accept the call to the cross of suffering that Jesus Christ had to go to. Jesus correctly identified who was behind it, and so must you. Not everyone is called to do what you are called to do. Some may be called to stay in the position that they are presently at, while others must graduate from the post and move on to the next level that God has called them to. Yet, they must still stay submitted to their leadership while moving forward. Paul and Barnabas were called from certain prophets and teachers to be apostles. And if we take a look at Acts 13, verse 1 through 3, we'll explain to you. When you embrace the call that you have on your life, you will not find the direction from God that will bring you into ministerial success. In times past, you may not have been successful or had only seen limited result, but upon the embrace of the call, you will soon get the direction that will bring forth greater results. John 21, verse 3 to 6 says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered to him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw, if for the multitude of fishes. Wherever you are, or in whatever you are doing, God may interrupt you with his call, as with Gideon, when God calls him. We could be busy doing our daily duty. God will interrupt your life to offer you his greater purpose for you. You cannot embrace your call looking everywhere else, or being hurt and upset by the various experiences and people that were used to shape you. Harden yourself like a good soldier and march on. Many are like Judas, always looking at the natural and not the spiritual. These are spiritual calls that is very difficult to fulfill, spiritual calls, walking and seeing in the natural only. Others try and embrace a call that they have not prepared for through study, prayer, and the crucifixion of ungodly behavior. This can happen even with seasoned Christians. Eli's son were trying to embrace the call that was in their family, but their improper sexual behavior caused great harm to Israel and their lives. It is always good to give yourself a check to see if you are ready to go forth. Ask yourself, have I truly prepared? And do I still have certain sins in my life that can impede me from operating on this next level? Beloved, these are very important questions that you need to ask yourselves. You need to search yourself, and you need to be in right standing with God. You need to submit to the Lord, and you need to repent of those sins and ask for forgiveness so you can be in right standing and walk in righteousness. Wherever you are in God, if He's calling you forward, then embrace the call at that moment and give it 100%. Nothing less than 100%. It will not be acceptable to the Lord. Don't be afraid to step out into the destiny God has established for you. When you step out, be diligent in your calling, for it takes diligence to make it work. Let us take a look at 2 Peter 1, verse 10, which says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Beloved, when you step out and give a diligent effort at the call, Jesus Christ will be glorified. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 and 12 says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all good pleasure of His goodness, on the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ." Some people will feel unworthy or unqualified to be called by God. But God does not make mistakes, beloved. Most of the disciples would seem to be unqualified to do such tasks that the Lord called them to do. You do not fulfill God's call within yourself, but rather in Him. God will not force you to embrace the call, but He may ask you to do it. God is the one who understands the unseen reasons why we may not feel ready to embrace the call. He will try to encourage us to go forward, but He will not force you. He may keep trying to get you to do something, as He did with Jonah. But as with Jonah, you must yield your will to do it. If you are prepared, then move in and embrace the call on your life, just as Joshua was prepared and moved in his calling at the appointed time. so you must. My prayer for you is in Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 23. And I recommend that you all read that. Remember your call and purpose by God. But because of what or who you are, but who God is, and what He's able to do in you and through you. Don't be afraid, beloved. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 to 11 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereupon I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. Beloved, I have decided to totally embrace the call that God has placed on my life. What about you? I want you to reflect on everything that we have said tonight. And if there's a call on your life, do not hesitate to embrace that call. We want to thank each and every one of you for listening to us tonight. And we give God the glory. And we pray that the teaching tonight will touch someone, and that a life will be saved, or lives will be saved, and someone will submit to their calling. Father, we thank you tonight as we proclaim your Son Jesus Christ throughout the world. We give you the praise and we honor you tonight, O God. And we thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to speak to these people. Though we may not be eloquent, O God, we pray that there is something for someone or something for everyone. Father, we thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we pray tonight that this will be a blessing to those who listen. And those who are going to listen, O God, fill us, Father. Let us embrace our call in the name of Jesus Christ. And we bind every spirit that would come up against us, that would hinder us from embracing this call. Father, we thank you tonight, and we pray for a blessing upon the house of Christ ministries. And as we go forth to do your will, we pray, O God, that you'll cover us with the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you tonight and we bless you. Bless all those listeners tonight. In Jesus' name. Believers and fellow brethren, please remember to tune in every Wednesday night and Sunday night at 9 p.m. for the House of Christ Ministries Present. Your host is Reverend Donald Davis, and thank you for listening tonight. Feel free to call us or email us. God bless you, and have a wonderful night.